Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Malachi, chapter 1. Malachi, chapter 1. Go to the book of Matthew and turn back a page and you'll be there. Malachi, chapter 1. We're going to be reading several verses throughout the book of Malachi. If you find Malachi 1:7, I'm going to read two verses before that, and we're going to jump around a little bit here. Malachi 1:7, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 to you. You may follow along silently there. Malachi 1 and 2 read, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob." Now, Malachi 1:7, let's read this in unison together. Ready? "Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible." Now turn to chapter 2, Malachi chapter 2, verse 17. Malachi 2:17. Let's read this verse in unison together also. Ready? "Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment?" Now we're going to skip to chapter 3, verses 7, 8, and 9. I'll read verse 7. You join me. We'll read verses 8 and 9 together. Malachi 3, 7 through 9. "Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the word of God. Lord, thank you for such a great day here at our church. And Lord, oh, we got to see some victories and we got to hear a little bit about what you did. But Lord, I can't wait to heaven to find out how eternity was affected today. Lord, you've been so good to us. Thank you for a man of God that walks close to you, that brings heaven to us. Now, Father, please, fill our preacher with your power. May we listen. Lord, we don't know what we'll say to someone this week that could change eternity for them, for us, and most of all for you. Would you please help us to listen to your message tonight? In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I can't help but say something that has nothing to do with the sermon tonight. I'm going to preach out of the book of Malachi. I was at a camp once, and they let some young preachers preach, and I heard a young man preach a whole sermon out of the book of Malachi. He said, right here in the book of Malachi, and he kept saying, it was hilarious. It was fantastic. I've never forgotten it, and I know all of his friends there never let him forget it any either. So tonight, I'll preach from the book of Malachi. Before I preach my sermon, I'm going to confess to a sin. Very quiet. Everybody's sitting on the edge of their seat. I was wrong recently, and I did something that I shouldn't have done. And my wife and I and part of our family was driving south. I was paying no attention to what I was doing, and we were driving through a little southern town down on the other end of West Virginia. And all of a sudden, behind me, a man in a very uniquely labeled car turned on some very unique lights that were on top of his car. The car made unique sounds. And my granddaughter told me someone behind me was signaling to me. And so I pulled over, and he was very uniquely dressed. And he came to my window, and I was speeding. And When he got to the window, he said, "Sir, you realize you are going 10 mile an hour over the speed limit." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry, sir. I was not paying attention, but you're right." Now, I'm not going to tell you what one particular woman in the car said to me later, but my wife said to me later on, she said, "Honey, if you wouldn't have admitted so quickly, you might not have gotten that ticket." I don't know if she was wanting me to lie to him or what. So actually, I take it back. I'm going to confess my wife's sins here tonight. But I didn't pretend to be innocent. I just took my licking. Tonight, in the sermon, it's called Wherein? Wherein? The book of Malachi was written in a way that its words revealed the sin of some pretending or pretense. The people in the day of Malachi are pretending that they don't realize their sinful condition. We'd call it playing dumb. This book is a book of prophecy, but let's not miss the simple everyday teaching as well. You can see in a very obvious manner that the people are denying any knowledge of their misbehavior, but God knows better. They pretend they don't see their misbehavior. They pretend that they don't realize they're misbehaving. They pretend that they don't understand that they're misbehaving. Listen to this. Malachi 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us?" Notice, God makes a statement of a fact, and their response is, "Wherein?" What do you mean? What do you mean, God? You love me, huh? Then in Malachi 1:7, it says, "Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee?" Notice, God makes a statement of a fact of what he knows is happening, and they say, "Wherein?" Huh, what are you talking about? They're trying to deny to the one that knows everything that they're guilty. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him?" God makes a statement of a fact, and they say, "Wherein? What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about." In Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8, it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings?" Notice, God makes a statement of a fact, and they deny it and say, "Wherein? What are you talking about?" Every time God accused them of doing something, and just so you understand, God's accusations are 100% right. 100% right. And every time God accused the people of doing something wrong, they replied, "Wherein? Wherein?" They were saying, "What do you mean?" They were pretending that they were totally in the dark about their wrong, acting like, "Well, that's new to me." They were giving the impression that, "Surely you're not talking about me. That doesn't apply to me. But I didn't notice that. I didn't realize that." Wherein, they said to God. Boy, can we be guilty of that. Many people want to attend churches that just soothe their consciences. They wear their Sunday best. They sit in the church auditorium in crowds of other people who are looking for some attendance at church that will just soothe a conscience. They don't really care what's being preached. The preacher could preach out of the TV guide and they could care less. They feel good and justified just seeing others who are guilty of the same religious pretending and living in the same denial. They live like the lost do all week long. They walk in the church service and they walk out the same way every service. No change is being made. But let me remind all of us, you may pretend with me and I may pretend with you, but you won't pretend with God, because God says, "I know it." And you say, "Well, what are you talking about?" He sees right through you. You can fake me out and I can fake you out, but you haven't faked God out a lick. God knows everything about you. Everything. I think there are some here tonight who have allowed yourself to get away from God. You know it. But you'd like to say, "Wherein? Wherein? What do you mean? What are you talking about?" See, outwardly, We'll deny we're backslidden, but inwardly, God knows. God knows. Listen to me as I use the outline provided here in the Scripture. They said, wherein am I loved? Wherein am I loved? It says in Malachi 1:1-2, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi, I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? They question and deny that God loves them. Can you imagine? God said, I love you. And you say, what do you mean you love me? I didn't know you loved me. Yes, they did. And there's nobody here tonight that could deny the fact that you know God loves you. Wherein? They were basically saying, wherein am I important to God? I don't feel important to God. Well, wait a minute. His son died for you. You know God loves you. Wherein? Hey, but maybe you're a bus rider here tonight. You say, wherein does my bus captain love me? Hey, your bus captain that goes out and visits in the cold and gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning and then doesn't get home on a Sunday afternoon till 3 or 4 o'clock. Don't you tell me you don't think your bus captain loves you. Wherein am I loved by my Sunday school teacher? They probably pretended that the man of God did not love them. I have nobody that really cares about me. I have no real friends. Nobody at the church loves me. Nobody really cares about me. Wherein? Wherein? You're fooling yourself now. And it's not a matter of if they were loved. It may be that they just didn't want it. Let me remind you, it is God that said, I love you. And they said, what are you talking about? Wherein? We don't know anything about that. Wait a minute. God did love them. The problem was not the lover. The problem was the one that would not receive the love, would not recognize the love, and would not just admit they weren't receiving that love. The love made no difference to them because they were in a backslidden condition. My wife said something very wise to me one day. I said, honey, sometimes I try to word things so that I can correct something and not offend people. She said, sweetheart, you're going to have to realize something. It doesn't matter how well you word certain things when people want to be offended and they're looking for a reason to gripe, complain, turn their nose up, run away from the church. You're going to offend them no matter how you say it. Because they're looking to be offended. And let me say to you, sometimes I think it is not the one that is extending the love. It is the one that's not receiving the love. And in this case, that is very true. Because it is God that is saying, I love you. And they said, wherein? Backslidden people are very poor love receivers. Maybe it's not the love giver that's the problem. Maybe it's not the friendship giver that's the problem. Maybe it's a receiver. Maybe it's not your Christian school teacher's lack of love towards you. Maybe you're not accepting that love. Let me remind all of us of something. It's not our job to go around looking for people to love us anyway. It's our job to go around loving people. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Nobody likes me. You get busy liking people. You say, nobody loves me. You get busy loving people. You say, nobody seems to accept me. You get busy accepting people. That's how we're supposed to live our life anyway. But they said, wherein? Wherein am I loved? Secondly, in this passage of Scripture, they said, wherein have I not given my best? Wherein have I not given my best? Malachi 1:7, this is what said, ye offered polluted bread upon mine altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? Huh. They offered polluted bread, moldy, nasty bread on the altar. And God said, I seen what you did. And they said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? They're denying it to God. They deny that anyone could say that they have not given their best. See, the priests were offering dirty, moldy bread to God and saying, I gave that, but I gave my best. And God said, you did not give your best. Did you? And he also says here, by not giving your best, he said, you have hurt me and you have polluted the cause of Christ. Let me ask you a question. You given your best? Are you giving your best? Hey, nursery worker, are you giving your best to be on time at that nursery? How about a Christian school student following the rules at school? Are you giving your best? Being lax in your duties pollutes the quality of the church ministry. But I'll tell you something. All sorts of people, God would say, you've not given your best. And you'll say, what are you talking about? Yes, I have. We live in denial. You say, I've given that church my very best. You probably haven't. You probably haven't. You say, wherein? Wherein? Wherein does people around here love me? Wherein have I... What do you mean I've not given my best? Thirdly, we see that he says, they say, wherein is our marriage not pleasing to God? Listen to this, Malachi 2:14. Yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. God said, your marriage is a mess, and you deny, and you're trying to say, your marriage is pleasing to the Lord. They pretend it's not so. Hey, are you keeping your promise to your mate? You husbands, you wives. Did you promise your mate? And they're talking about the wife of thy covenant. What covenant? Well, you stood at an altar and you made some promises. God came along and said, nobody else knows it, but your home is a hell on earth. And at home, you're a fussing and you're a fighting. And God said, I know what's going on. And they say, what are you talking about? Are you keeping your promises? When you said for better or for worse, or you said for richer or poor, and you said in sickness and in health. Listen, folks, let me explain something to you. Marital problems affect your service to God. Happy marriages produce happy servants of God. Marriage quality affects quality of your spiritual life. I've watched people with terrible marriages deny the real problem and blame the church and the school for it. Not happy at home, you're going to have a hard time being happy at church. And not happy at home, you're going to have a hard time being happy at the school. Not happy at home, you'll have a hard time being happy in the bus ministry. Because they were miserable in marriage, they wanted to hide it and blame everybody else. They say, wherein? Wherein, they said. Wherein? We don't feel like we're loved. We don't feel like we're accepted. We don't feel like we're needed. They said, wherein? Wherein about this thing? Wherein about our marriage? Wherein about giving my best? But not only that, we go on. They said, wherein are we two-faced and negative talkers? Listen to the scripture. Malachi 2:17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? You understand, he said, you are wearing me out with the way that you talk. You misrepresent evil, and you virtually think evil's okay, and God said, you're wearing me out with your talk. The way you're talking is wearing me out. And they said, what are you talking about? Let me tell y'all something. You can behind doors say what you want, and you may find out that a lot of people don't hear it, but God does. You say, I'll deny it. And God said, yeah, you'll say where I am, but you can't fool me. God's ears hear everything. The question, they question and then they deny. They say things to hurt God, that they say things to hurt the church, God's ministry, or God's man. They pretend it's not so. That's what they're doing. They're pretending here. He said, you're hurting me with the way you go around talking. And they said, what are you talking about? Who told you that, God? I can't believe somebody would say something like that about me. Wearying the Lord with your words.
Right.
Be careful, folks. I wouldn't go around complimenting people who are behaving in an evil way. That's what God's talking about. Evil means conspiracy to hurt. I will assure you that the people who conspire to hurt others deny that's what they're doing. They're pretenders, though. You can't fool God. They make it so that their evil almost sounds good. We can find a bunch of people and we can attack and try to destroy someone that we say, we're doing God a favor. God said, you're wearing me out with your pretending.
Yes, sir.
When you hear preaching about loyalty to your church, you publicly agree, but you privately, you're disloyal. But you would deny that in a flash. You'd say, wherein? 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 That's what God said was happening. But let me go on. He said, wherein are we dishonest with God about our money? Wherein are we dishonest with God about our money? Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, he said this, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? Ye are cursed with the curse because ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. You see, God comes along and says, I've watched everything that you put in the plate. And I know that you are not tithing like you said that you would, like you're supposed to. You're not giving the offering that you said that you would. And I don't know what God told them to give, and I don't know what they would promise they'd give. But it makes it very clear God is here in this passage of Scripture saying, you're robbing me of tithe, you're robbing me of offering. Now, folks, don't you think that somebody knows the truth about the offering plate? Yes, he does. They question and then they deny and they pretend it's not so and they say, wherein? Wherein have we robbed thee? He said, let me say it again, he says, in tithes and offerings. Listen to it. Listen to what he says. He says, will a man rob God? Ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? He said, let me say it again, in tithes and offerings. He said, you want to ask where? I'll tell you where. God then, according to this verse, places a curse on them financially. Now, so listen, it says, in tithes and offerings, ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Well, that's tough. That's sad. Hey, in an economy like we have in the United States of America, I give you a very high recommendation. Don't tempt God and don't have God put a curse on you financially because you don't do what you're supposed to do. You see, this word wherein, they're denying, they're pretending, they're coming across like, I don't even know what you're talking about. What are you talking about? Wherein am I loved? Wherein have I not given my best? Wherein is not my marriage not pleasing? Wherein am I a negative talker? Wherein am I dishonest about my money? And God said, I see it and I know it. And again, I may fool you, you may fool me, but let's all face it for just a moment. God knows the truth. God, and boy, even as the preaching, and I want you to keep saying amen, and I want you to shake your head up and down, and I want you to agree, but even when you say amen, and I'm preaching at your spot where I need to park it and tear into the thing, even while you're busy saying amen, and you're in denial in your own heart, God knows the truth. God knows the truth tonight. I exalt that God that knows everything. That God that knows everybody. That God that sees all the way through you. Yes. Wherein, they said. Really, isn't that kind of dumb? When God's talking to you and he's telling you what you're doing wrong, what in the world would someone be thinking by saying, I'm not getting you. You talking to me? Surely it doesn't apply to me. God, you know me. He said, yeah, that's why I'm saying this. I do know you. I know you. Then they say, wherein? Wherein does it benefit anyone if we serve God? Did it benefit anything if we serve God? Listen to this. Malachi 3:14. Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? You know what? They said, wherein? Wherein? They're actually saying, come on. What good is it doing for us to serve God? What good is all this doing? They deny that serving God is helping their church. Their service to God could help their country, could help their community. People were saying, what good does it do to work for God? If you'll study the passage here, and I'm not going to go into it, they virtually say, why in the world would I want to give myself to serve God? I know people in the world that have a nicer car than I do, a nicer house than I do, have more money than I do, and why in the world would I want to keep serving God when it looks like if you go into the world, live like the world, act like the world, dress like the world, you get more things. They're saying, this thing is serving God, it is vain, it is hollow, it is fruitless, and it's unproductive. Wherein serving God is going to be productive? Some say, well, I used to be a separated Christian, but it didn't do me any good at all. Well, one thing it did was cause you to obey God. There's no real benefit to working on that bus route. There's no real benefit to being a nursery worker. There's no real benefit to working in King's Kids. There's no real benefit to being in Martinsburg Christian Academy. There's no real benefit by singing in that choir. Now, wait a minute. You say, well, I just quit. I just want to quit all my duties and everything. Because, well, really, what's the use? Wherein, they said. But not only that. They said, wherein do I need to come back from my backslidden ways? Malachi chapter 3, verse number 7, it says, even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances. Have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye say, wherein shall we return? I don't need to return. Listen to this denial. He said, you are backslidden. And they said, what, who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? God, who do you think you are? God. Me? No, in this situation, I'm not backslidden. It's you, preacher. No, in this situation, Brother Owens, I'm not backslidden. It's Brother Bush. Denial that you could be the backslidden one. That's what they did. They said, wherein shall we return? They said, look, God, I don't have to return. I haven't gone anywhere. Now, don't you think that if you were close to God, He'd be the first one to know it?
Yes, sir. Well, that's good.
They question and deny their need to repent. They question and then deny their need for them to come back to God. They pretend they're not even away. Wherein do I need to return? What do you mean? I'm the prodigal son. What do you mean? I'm backslidden. What do you mean? I need to use the altar. What do you mean? I ought to rededicate my life. What do you mean? I ought to apologize to somebody. What do you mean? I could be the cause. What do you mean? I'm the problem. What do you mean? That my son or daughter could be the problem. Wherein?
Good.
Wherein? Wherein, God? Wait a minute. They're talking to God that way. God said, you are backslidden. And they said, I don't have to return. Didn't go anywhere.
Right.
Wherein? Said they. What an outline. What a scripture. What a teaching. They said, wherein am I loved? Wherein have I not given my best? Wherein is my marriage poor? Oh no. Wherein am I two-faced and negative and a negative talker? Wherein am I dishonest with God about my money? Wherein does it benefit anybody really to serve God and give themselves? Wherein do I need to come back to God? Wherein am I backslidden? I love what he does. I love the fact that when you get to Malachi chapter 4, he then says, if you will stop fooling, well, trying to fool me, stop pretending, come clean, he says, I'll help you. He said, I'll help you. Listen to Malachi chapter 4, verse number 2. He's already hit us with that pretend and that wherein thing. Get real. Get real. Stop living in denial. And then he comes along and says, if you'll stop living in denial and stop passing the buck and stop blaming everybody else, and you look at you, listen to this, Malachi 4:2. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Here's what he's saying. If you'll stop pretending, I'll start healing what's broken. Hear what he said? He said, I'll come with healing in my wings. He said, you stop pretending. You stop living in denial. You stop. Hey, you just stop and look at you and stop trying to tell everybody that it's not you. He said, then I'll come and I will start healing all the disease that you have caused by your pretending. He said, there'll be healing in my wings. But let me remind you, though, if you keep pretending, if you keep living in denial, you'll keep having sick relationships and you'll keep having sick attitudes and you'll keep having a sick way of life. Right. Then he said, not only will I bring healing to you, he said, I'll help you to go forward spiritually. It says in Malachi chapter 4, verse number 2, the next part of it says, and ye shall go forth. For some of you, you're just treading water. You're not going forth spiritually. You're treading water. You're just like somebody that you're stuck in a rut in life. You're just spinning your tires. He said, look, you're pretending because you're pretending. There's virtually a sickness about you. He said, if you'll stop pretending, I will heal you and I will help to get you started and you can go forward in your life. In chapter 4, verse 2, the third part of it, it says he will care for you like a newborn calf. It says, Malachi 4:2, and grow up as calves of the stall. Now, what's he talking about? He said, I'll protect you. I will nurture you. I will feed you. And in the stall, that's a place of protection. He said, stop pretending. I'll start the healing process in your life. I'll help you to get out of the rut. I'll help you to start moving forward and accomplishing something again. I'll come to you and feed you like and care for you like a newborn calf in the stall where I'll protect you. And I think God will even figure out a way to protect you from some of the chaos you've caused for yourself. He said, I'll help you. Then in verse number 6, I think he promises that he can actually bring unity back into your family. Listen, Malachi 4:6, it says, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Huh? He said, look, folks, the pretending in public and the hell at home needs to stop. And God said, if it'll stop, then what I'll do is I'll heal you. I'll get your family going forward again. I'll feed you like a newborn calf. I'll protect you in the stall. And then I can get your kids back online. I can get everybody with a new heart connection in the family. And I can help you to succeed. And that's what he promised there in that Malachi chapter 4, verse number 6. The sermon is called, Wherein? 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 You can say it out loud or you can say it privately. Wherein? But let me say, the Holy Spirit has your number. He has your number. I don't know what part of the sermon might apply to you. But somewhere there's something for everybody tonight. Don't live in denial to it. Be careful now. That wherein really disgusted God, because he knows better. I might not be able to pinpoint that for which you will deny, and you might not be able to pinpoint that which I might deny, but I can tell you somebody who can. God can pinpoint that which you're living in denial of. I'd be careful saying to him, oh, wherein? Wherein? In Christian, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I believe there are some who need the altar more desperately than others, but I think everybody ought to search your heart. Everybody ought to search your heart. If there's somebody here tonight you've never trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, I invite you to come tonight and get saved. If you've been saved and never made it public, I wish you'd come. Maybe you've been saved and baptized by immersion after your salvation, and maybe you need to join the church. You're invited to come. Maybe you just need to come. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you need something to get something right with God. Maybe you need to come up here and do business with God that you talk to nobody else about. But you get over this thing of denying it to yourself and to God, because God knows the truth. And I hope God has seen through some of you, and I hope some of you have removed the scales off of your eyes long enough tonight, letting the Scripture penetrate that pride and help you to realize you can deny it, but God knows the truth. He knows where you're at. Who here tonight would say, God has spoken to my heart, Brother Owens. God has spoken to me. Would you raise your hand? And there are hands everywhere. God bless you. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation for us. Wherein? Wherein, says the teenager? Wherein, says the child that goes to Martinsburg Christian Academy grade school? Wherein, says that Sunday school teacher or bus captain? Wherein, says the husband? I wonder how many marriages the husband or the wife is living in denial that they're part of the problem. It's him, I tell you. It's him. Well, it's her, I tell you. You better search yourself. Wherein? Wherein, said the people? Wherein have we robbed God? Wherein have we not given our best? Wherein? Oh, what, this business of serving God? What do I really get out of that? What's the big deal? Just to show. Wherein? Pretending, pretense, living in denial, that God knows. You don't know about me, I don't know about you, but God knows about us both. God knows really what's in your heart. Say, Brother Owens, I've given my best. Let me ask you something. Have you been working on bettering your best? Could we not better our best? Could we not work on ourselves and grow ourselves and nurture ourselves? I think that's what the Christian life is all about. And I'll reiterate. Happy homes do not produce happy service to God. Unhappy homes does not produce happy service to God. It just doesn't happen. Sooner or later, it wears you out. One more time through the song choir, please. You can have a